Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
This piece was brought to you by Roberta's, robertaspizza.com.
Hey, Food Radio listeners. I'm HRN's executive director, Katie, and I'm really excited to share that we're launching a brand new show. Meat and Three is HRN's weekly food news roundup. Tune in for a deep dive and three tasty shorts every Friday evening. It's 15 minutes, so you can listen while you wait for your pizza. This week, the fight for universal free lunch in New York City public schools isn't over yet.
I'm overburdened. I'm overworked. I don't get staff when people are out.
Plus, Dana Cowan, former editor of Food & Wine magazine and host of HRN's Speaking Broadly, catches up with Valerie Lomas, the winner of the Great American Baking Show's Derailed Season 3. Discover how a Danish brewery is motivating people to get fit. And hear Allison Roman speak to the highs and lows of her cookie recipe going viral.
Every time I see anyone in a social setting, that's generally the first thing they ask me is, how are the cookies?
Be better informed and wildly inspired by the stories and people you hear on Meat and Three. Find us on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.
Hey, welcome to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. Hey, I'm Jimmy Carboni. I'm the host of the show, and today is Tuesday, May 19th, 2018. We've got some great guests joining us tonight. There's a little bit of a Long Island Beer Week theme, just because our breweries are from Long Island, but this show really came about based on our good buddy writer, Nico Kremitis, and he wrote some great articles, one of them for Hop Culture about Sand City Brewing, and that's kind of the impetus for the show. So we've got Nico. Everyone go around and say who they are.
Hey, Jimmy, how are you? This is Nico Kremitis, freelance writer and currently a guest on Beer Sessions Radio.
Great. And whoever's next is going to pour all the beers. And then we got guys from Barrier.
I'm not pouring all the beers. Mike Descarfino, Barrier Brewing Company.
You know what's great, Mike, is that our buddy Ethan, who's our listener who logs every beer that we taste, is on Untappd under Beer Sessions Radio. He said, Barrier is my favorite brewery.
I love it. I like this guy. Believe it.
So my name is Gage Siegel, beermenus.com, and that guy is my mortal enemy.
I'm trying to push you guys. You guys should be tracking all the beers we taste on air.
Fight. I'm Chris Candiano from Destination on Beer Company, a.k.a. Debco.
That's great, man. You're a surprise guest for me and another like great new brewery on Long Island. What town are you guys in?
We're in Bayshore, on the South Shore.
That's great, man. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us.
And one of our favorite beer bar guys who knows a lot about beer.
Hi, I'm Brian Wingett. I work for Barrier Brewing.
And you switched. You'd worked at Barcade a long time. And
Just shy of 7 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we've been trying to get you on for a long time. So you can hear Brian's voice a lot today. We're going to have him weigh in on tasting beers. And
hear the sound of me drinking a lot.
And the whole theme of the show is from Nico's article on Hop Culture. The guys from Northport, Long Island, they're making big names for themselves, and everyone's excited to try their beer tonight. Welcome, Sand City.
Well, thanks for having us, Jimmy. My name's Kevin Seiler, Sand City Brewing Company.
And I'm Bill Kiernan. It's great for being here.
All right. It's funny because we were out at the bar at Roberta's earlier, and I walked in and I looked at Nico had posted on Instagram a photo from Hop Culture of these guys from Sand City, and I figured one was the other, and of course I got their names mixed up. But
we have a lot of attractive guys over there. It's easy.
Well, you guys are great. Well, Nico, you know, you've been covering beer in the New York area, Long Island area for years. This article for Hop Culture, it was a big deal. Just give us a sense of what Sand City is to you and, what that article was about.
Yeah, so, to me and I think a lot of other people on Long Island, not only on Long Island, but now across the country are recognizing Sand City as one of the, the foremost producers of IPA, namely the New England style, the hazy style, northeastern style, whatever you want to call it. And recently, the reason for the article, Sand City's tap room had been closed by the village of Northport. And so I decided to, you know, have a chat with Kevin about, you know, how that affects the brewery, you know, because obviously, you know, the brewery produces puts out a lot of IPAs and in the model of limited releases through, you know, line culture. And that's kind of popular across the country right now is waiting online for limited edition releases of IPAs.
Waiting in line for cans, waiting in line for brunch. Why do you guys exactly do that, man? I mean, I always thought I was in the industry. I'm cool. I can cut the lines. I don't have to go to brunch on a Saturday. I don't have to wait in line on Saturday.
So are people making you wait in line for their beer, Jimmy? You're not better than that?
I just don't go to the lines. But it is a new thing. And you're saying because of this, it's changed the model for these businesses. So, like, Kevin, when you guys first opened in Northport, I'm sure they had open arms and welcomed you because you're a craft brewery. You're also a farm brewery license too, right?
Right. We have our dual license now. When we first opened, I mean, you know, the town has been ultimately very supportive. It's just we ran into a couple hiccups recently. And I think that's just, you know, the culture of being in a small village, a mixed-use village where we do have residential neighbors. So there's going to be certain complaints about, you know, I mean, what we're doing here, we're manufacturing beer. So it's an industrial environment. And we are, you know, we were never expecting to have these lines for our can releases. And all of a sudden, you know, on a Saturday or Sunday morning, there's 300 people showing up and they've got to kind of wait somewhere. So it draws attention. And
how many people did you expect to have in your tap room before the whole can thing happened?
1 million.
Yeah.
We had no idea. I mean, we opened our doors, and I think like any entrepreneur, you open your doors, you literally cross your fingers that someone's going to show up. And when you see people walking into your business, it's amazing. And then the first weekend we opened up, and that's what was happening. And it really just never died down for us. So we sort of hit the ground running, which is why, you know, I think we've probably, you know, ran into some issues because we weren't quite expecting the growth that we've seen. So
yeah, no, and that's amazing. And Nico, I know you captured that. You mentioned alchemists kind of starting this trend in Vermont.
And I think what's interesting now is, you know, in this room we have three of the breweries on Long Island that are drawing these types of lines for their limited releases, namely so Sand City and also Barrier and Dubco. All of these breweries are producing, you know, really tasty IPAs that people want to queue up for and get their hands on.
Yeah. We got Mike and Brian are here from Barrier. I think our first beer, is that a Barrier?
That's our most recent collab with Sand City.
That is cool. Is that so appropriate for the show, guys. Kudos. Yeah.
I'll get you, Nico. Oh, you want beer?
Well, yeah, we also
like Nico's dry for the show.
We also recently collabed with Dubco, so yeah,
looking forward to that beer coming out as well.
And Gage, aren't you going to rag on Nico throughout the whole show?
Oh, well, he already beat me to it. Nico's wearing a suit, everybody. If you can't, you know, just picture it, but there will be
a radio
photo.
It's a suit for radio.
It's very loud, though.
You look great.
It is a very nice suit, and he looks good in suits.
Is that Sharks?
And Mike, I'm going to give a shout out to Barry. I mean, you got Brian Wingett now working with you, but
yes,
you know, you're a great sales rep. And for me, you know, Barry was the first kind of New York City region you know, microbrewery that captured my attention. I was dedicated to you guys, and I feel like, you know, there was a time probably around 2011, people said, you know, if there's a good beer seal bar, what's the criteria? It's like, do they carry Barrier?
Well, it's funny because when we were young and started, like, nobody wanted IPAs that were hazy. So if we gave them a mild hazy IPA, they would return it. So it's just funny to see where the industry's at now. Of course, there's a whole different flavor.
But did people really notice?
The beers are different.
It seems, I can't even remember. People notice if an IPA was cloudy or not. I always thought it was like, just if it was hoppy.
No, I think cloudiness was definitely something that people looked at. You know, people wanted a clear IPA. And I think that represented the, if you want to call it the skill that the brewer had, you know, to create an IPA that had that clarity in it.
Brian, did you ever, you worked at Barcade a long time, you handled a lot of beers. Did these issues ever come up? I never, it's funny now, like, someone say, oh, my IPA is cloudy, is something wrong with that?
I think it's absolutely the pendulum just swinging to an opposite end of the spectrum. You look at the state of the industry a decade ago, and the sort of the standard was you want your IPA to be clear. And we've seen how many different trends in IPAs over the past 10 years. We had a prominent West Coast IPAs, people got into double IPAs. You had black IPAs that were kind of flash in the pan. You had brown IPAs were there for even less time.
I was a big fan of black IPAs.
Bring on the glitter IPAs.
Just bring them on. Yeah, black was cloudy.
I want the glitter.
Black beer matters, you know. Sorry, guys. But this is a great beer. So you guys want to talk about the collaboration briefly, Kevin? So who was in on this beer? Who made the beer?
So it was made at Barrier, but brewed in conjunction with Sand City. So we've done about, what we do, Kevin, four collabs so far? Like two at each place so far?
Yeah. I think we're up to four. Right?
Yeah, they're pretty, you know, they're straightforward in the sense of what everybody wants. Double dry hopped, they're all the hops that people want, juice bombs. Our IPAs tend to be just a tad bit more bitter because we like to have that, just that's kind of our style. We like to keep a little bit of the West Coast style, but, you know, they're hazy, they're murky, but we have a nice balance of juice and softness with a touch of bitterness.
Great. Yeah. And guys, let's keep popping beers, too. And I'm just trying to get everybody introduced. Gage and Chris from Dubco. I'm calling you Dubco.
Yeah, please. Please
do. Just, you guys are, you're a new brewery. Tell us about Dubco.
Yeah, we actually, we just celebrated our three-year anniversary last week on May 7th.
3 years?
3 years, wow. Yeah. We're one of the smaller guys. Thank you. Thank you.
Cheers.
We're one of the smaller guys around in the game. We have a three-barrel. We just took over the rest of our building. We're upgrading to a 10. So that should kind of help us out a little bit. Like I said, I'm happy to be in the room with these guys. I remember I lived in Rockville Center about 10 years ago when Barrier first opened, and I was into homebrewing and stuff. That was like the place to go, you know, even back then. I think, what have you guys been open now, like 7, 8 years?
In 2009,
almost 10 years, yeah. So I used to go hang out in that back tap room with Evan and... you know, I think you guys started out with a one-barrel system as well,
one,
right?
One barrel, yeah. We were on Lawson,
yep.
And then we moved it down to New Street, which is like 5 minutes away.
Yeah, so these guys were kind of my, you know, inspiration to finally start my own brewery. You know, when we opened, we were on a little tiny one-barrel glorified homebrew set.
Barry was my inspiration to keep drinking more.
Yeah, that too.
You know that, but... old school.
I think what's most incredible about these two dudes, so sorry, you can't see the order we're sitting in, but Sand City and Dubco are both to my left, is that when they opened, you guys both flew through beer to the point where you couldn't keep it in the tap room, and as I understand, continues to be an issue because you are so popular. And I think that speaks volumes about craft beer and the quality of the craft beer being produced at this point.
Yeah, I go back to what Kevin was saying earlier. You know, when he first opened up, honestly, my partner and I sat there waiting for people to come in. It was the scariest moment of my life. Like, are people actually going to come and drink our beer? Is this a good idea or not? And we were blessed and lucky enough that, you know, since day one, you know, and it's not just like our friends and our family and our hangers-on, you know, like the actual public comes and hangs out and supports us and drinks our beer.
But you guys have to admit, so the New York State has been good, like...
100%.
There's been reforms. People can actually go and buy beer at your place, like a tap room. That's a huge change. And
we
everyone
couldn't
agrees
exist
with
without
that. So basically, all the models you're talking about is that. Because I know when Barrier opened, that didn't exist.
No, when we opened, it was we would get a few locals, which was cool, but it was a handful of people that would support us. But it was mainly distribution. So we'd have, you know, we were all kegging beer back then. So we'd have to go to, like, you know, and Brooklyn was the majority of our business, Brooklyn and Manhattan. Because at the time, our distribution network was so small and Long Island so spread out that we were only to really handle Nassau County, you know, the majority of the time.
Yeah, no,
I mean, we hit up everywhere, but it was so.
And now
spread
I think
out.
I can give the secret of Barrier's success. Back then, the model was, oh, there's like 30 really good beer bars in New York, including Barcade and Jimmy's Number 43 and other places.
There weren't as many breweries though.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
It's and that's where you
popped
sold
up in 5 to 6
yeah.
years.
Yeah, and you know, if I could just chime in, I think that's a real testament to New York State, the New York State Brewers Association, Empire State Development Fund. You know, these are individuals
governor.
That are, yeah, the governor, you
absolutely. You gotta say governor.
Thanks,
governor,
Paul and Stefan.
Yeah, thank you, governor.
The gov.
I mean, you know, the modern legislation has really been, you know, to promote that local industry because I think they see what kind of an incubator it can be for small towns. And I think you see that all up the Hudson Valley, all on Long Island, Bayshore, Northport, you know, all these other towns like Riverhead, you know, tremendous influx of cash. And, you know, that brings, you know, a highlight to these local other small businesses, restaurants, mom and pop shops, you know, clothing stores, you know. But I think the big thing that's happening right now is that, and you see this with Dubco, with, you know, all these other Long Island breweries, Barrier, is that the bar has been, you know, kind of rising exponentially about what is going to be the next, you know, good beer, the next, you know, kind of great use of ingredients and procedure and protocols. And I think that's a testament to the industry overall, but especially in New York State, where there's such a huge, you know, per capita amount of talent. Of course, you know, New York State represents.
What's the second beer that we're drinking? I know, you just poured it for me, Bill.
So I'm drinking...
You're drinking Oops, I think.
This is, oops, I hopped my pants. Five at the same time.
Yeah. But say it again. What am I drinking?
Oops, I hopped my pants.
And who made that beer?
It's Sand City.
Sand City as well.
Mm-hmm. So it's hopped with... you got Columbus, Centennial, Chinook, and Summit.
Beautiful hops that everyone hates on. And
absolutely.
Nuts.
Absolutely.
So that's Mike. So Mike, let's ask Mike, because Mike's my buddy. I know he's an industry veteran here from Barrier. Why did Sand City, when they opened and they hit, what is it about them that makes Weiser beer so good?
Well, I think that they're in an area where people were, there's a need for a brewery. Two, they're doing beers that people are digging. It's not, you know, it's low bitterness, it's juicy, it's hazy, and people are excited. People are excited about new things, and if you do it good and you do it well, they're going to stay excited and they're going to support you. Yeah. So I think Long Island. Excuse me, had a lack of that in a sense where a lot of brewers were just kind of just doing their own thing, and you know, that was cool and all, but I think it was a lot of separation in terms of just creativity, and a lot of breweries now are coming together too, a lot of collaborations in the island, where I think we're getting a lot stronger too.
And I mean, number three is, you know, I know this is a radio station, but I mean, look at my face. So, you know, I was just drawn.
You can't say that when Nico's in the room. He looks true. So
actually,
good.
Actually, I just want everyone to know we did just post Nico's picture onto our Instagram page.
Oh, dear.
And so, what's the Instagram, bro?
Yo, did you tag
me? Sand City Brewing Instagram page. So go check it out. You'll see Nico in a suit, and he actually is still in the show right now. So,
Kevin, you're a sweetheart.
Yeah, well, you know.
I'm actually upset Nico's not wearing his ECW shirt.
No, I don't want to take a break, but we got it for some purposes. We'll take a short break. We'll be back in a few minutes on Beer Sessions Radio. All right.
My name is Brandon Hoy, co-owner of Roberta's, a super duper awesome place. Roberta's is a very, 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 very proud sponsor of the Heritage Radio Network. We're also super awesome. Thank you, Heritage.
Hey, welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage. Are we live right now, David?
We sure are.
That's funny. I just said, I was giving Kevin from Sand City instructions. I said, Kevin, just keep pouring beers, and every time you pour, just say, I just poured Jimmy this. So, Kevin.
Yeah, I just poured Jimmy Enough Already, which is Argoza beer, and we've been doing a variety of different fruits in there. This one's blueberry and blackberry, 4.5% Argoza beer, so it's got a good bit of sea salt in there, little bit of coriander and then some fruit. So
it's not. It tastes more like a classic Goza, which I like. And I just, so those of you listening, a little bit behind the scenes, I do have to work hard to keep the show going. But the one thing that's great is that guys like Kevin, first time on the show, we've got natural talent in the room. So cheers to you, man, as a brewer and a talker. But
thank you.
What do you guys think about Goza stuff? Remember the summer of 2015, Eric Asimov of New York Times wrote, and Brian's going to join me on this, you know, had a big article about, you know, summer of Goza, and we had a lot of fun with it. But I'm really into like the classic kind of German style Gozas, and I feel like Goza's become the style that I actually hate. I hate when it's like limey, and I don't want lime. But this is a nice Goza. Brian, how has Goza been for you?
I think when it first really showed up on the market, the first one that I took notice of was the Anderson Valley, the Kimmy, the Yink, and the Holy Goza. And it's come a long way, and now people are doing stupid shit like putting Ferrero Rochers in their goses for...
I saw that today. Oh, toasted coconut and
it's,
yeah.
It's Droid Theory out of Maryland, yeah. I believe.
Oh, I saw that. It looks disgusting.
Yes.
I don't know. I mean...
Put a human
head. I'm kind of for that. I'm just for creativity in brewing. I think it looked pretty, kind of.
I'm for whatever dumb shit you want to do once. Once.
Thank you, Gage. We're going to do a show with Gage and Nico just kind of... chiming up,
but only if Gage wears a suit.
I care about good beer. That's the thing, and that's like I like this goes, and I'm saying I like it. You know, it's funny because in 2015, suddenly it was like it hadn't been included in Garrett Oliver's Oxford Encyclopedia of Beer, and he was pissed that this big article that summer was about goes. Like it's the only style that wasn't included in the Oxford Encyclopedia of Beer, but suddenly everyone's making one. So, you know, keep going with it, guys. Yeah, I just want a good one. Goes doesn't just mean cheap sour beer.
Absolutely not. You know, when we opened Dubco about 3 years ago, that first summer we did our goes that we call Gilgo. It's a local beach on South Shore of Long Island. You know, so we did it in the warmer months and people tended to, you know, be asking for it year round. So now we made that kind of a rotating series like Kevin did with his Enough Already, where we'll take our base goes a recipe, which is super traditional, you know, German style. And, you know, we'll rotate the fruits. You know, so our past one, when we just did was passion fruit and guava, and it was pretty well received. P.S. Kev, I need some more guava, you know, next week. But yeah, it's definitely a very popular style. Even, you know, I heard your I think last week you guys were talking about the sours and then the fruited sours and lactose sours. You know, that's definitely a very popular style for us right now as an alternative in the tap room to all these IPAs and the more traditional stuff we do as well.
I think that talks a lot to the stress that breweries facing the consumer as becoming, you know, incredibly educated about tastes, you know, and having to at one time kind of create, for lack of like a better term, you know, these flagship brands that can be recognizable while also simultaneously, you know, pushing the envelope. And when you know, the stress of making a beer is that, you know, you're brewing for systems like ours, you know, a couple times a week. So when you're kind of making 10 barrels, 20 barrels in a you know, a double brew day, you're kind of making a choice to kind of say, you know, I'm going to take this and push it to the edge a little bit and see what happens. And that could fall on its face, you know. So I think it's a testament to all these guys that people keep buying their beer and enjoying it because it could go in any direction.
You know, it's funny. Nico, in your article in Hop Culture, as part of your interview with Kevin, you guys mentioned you made a beer with Yeppe from Evil Twin.
Right.
And what did he put into the brew tank?
You know, that guy threw
it was
one,
like a donut.
He threw one fucking Danish in there.
Only one.
One.
Himself.
So
isn't that his gift?
It wasn't even a whole Danish, right?
That's so, his you lucky know, charm, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. But you know, we're having a good time. We're having a couple of beers during the day. So so he thinks it's funny. Let's go up there and throw a Danish in. No problem whatsoever, other than all of a sudden, you know, we're printing our labels up and we're like, shit, we have to put on there that there's nuts in this beer now. Even though it's one Danish, I mean, what are the chances anybody's, you know, but again.
Your luck?
Right, exactly. Exactly.
Those are very good chances.
Someone from the village in Northport will definitely have a nut allergy and will die because of that beer. So we had to, you know, we had to register it as containing trace amounts of nuts and all that stuff. So especially since he's up there, you know, dancing around and throwing it in on Instagram. So so anyway, but that beer came out great. We actually
what was that beer, Kevin?
It's called Even Mo Hygge.
Hygge.
Hygge. Hygge.
Danish hospitality.
Hygge. Exactly. There you go.
We know this stuff.
A fantastic beer, I must say. We've got one in the fridge, so we can crack into that.
Let's
now.
Let's keep tasting. And on that note, Kevin, like it was old school days, you'd be like, oh, you know, you want to. Someone wants to be a chef and go into culinary school or start as a chef. Someone said, oh, we're going to put, Lydia Bastion said, I'm going to put out cookies for the interview. And if they eat the cookies, they get accepted. If they don't eat the cookies, they don't get to be a chef. I just noticed for you, we were talking about hazy IPAs, but your Goza, I noticed you reached for the can and poured yourself a refill. What does that tell us about your Goza and the beers that you really like?
All right. Well,
shameless self-promoter.
And we're videotaping.
Yeah.
He was hoping you'd notice.
He only drinks his own beer.
No, I mean, so, you know, I'm a big fan of the style. You know, I do like, so it's a series of ours, enough already. And it's one of the particular beers that I just really enjoy. So I've been drinking a lot of it, as are some of the other styles that we, some of our other non-IPA styles, I should say, that we brew. Because, you know, all of us in this room, we do brew a large amount of IPA beers. So, you know, being in a working in a brewing environment and brewing those kind of beers, you know, you're looking for a little variety sometimes. So,
yeah.
Nice taking over.
I think, you know, there's something that's so natural.
And next beer, gentlemen, let's keep going.
There's something so natural about,
Jimmy,
you know,
you driving?
We're talking about a group of guys that are making beer. You know, of course there's going to be this desire to just throw something into this boiling pot. I mean, it just makes sense. You know, it's like in the nature of the desire to kind of want to be creative. You know, I can remember when we were back home brewing, you know, and Kevin's the master. I was just kind of following his lead. But the number of times I was living with Kevin at the time, I would kind of go to the herb garden and throw in just, you know, whatever kind of
you have an herb garden at the brewery?
He's making this sound a lot different than it really was, that we were living together and we had an herb garden and we were throwing
it
stuff
was
into
super
our
cute.
Together.
It's what it was.
I mean,
there's
he was
pictures.
Renting a cottage it's in my house. He was renting a cottage in my house and we come over once in a while and brew. All right, but we didn't share a bed.
Live
we
on Long Island. Oh, yeah.
We shared an herb garden. We shared an herb garden.
I like this, but cheers.
We walked into the wrong radio show.
What kind of articles are you writing over there,
Nico? Sets us up, yeah.
I think I just found my next article.
It's like that Seinfeld episode.
Well, you know, actually, when you're working together, sometimes you have to share a bed.
Bruce Brothers.
You know. You guys, this is a great show. What's the next beer? Let's keep pouring beer.
It was head to foot.
This is our Sonar. It's from Dubco. It's a barrel-aged Saison.
But my first Dubco ever.
Ah, well, cheers.
On air.
Our Sonars are Saison.
What does Dubco mean? There's another name.
Well, it's an acronym for a Destination Unknown Beer Company. You know, it's kind of a mouthful to say. Sounded like a good idea at the time until you have to write it and type it a million times a day. So the kids are calling it Dubco these days.
The kids.
You got t-shirts?
Yeah. They're crazy.
Yeah, so this is our Saison. We aged in French Chardonnay barrels, and we added some Brett C in there. It's been sitting for about 6 months, just pulled it out. So it's a little something different than the IPAs, like, you know, like Kevin said. They like to switch it up every now and then.
How dare you switch it up?
Sure. And I think it's interesting. Destination Unknown is actually the first brewery on Long Island to have a cool ship.
That is correct. We got a cool ship, I want to say, like November last year. We got two of them in before... Before we couldn't physically do it anymore over the winter. So that's kind of our plan. You know, we're doing, like I said, we're a very small brewery, so we're able to do a lot of cool stuff, like having a cool ship. So
where do you put the cool ship? Is this in the brewery?
We have it out our back door. And behind us is kind of like a nature preserve. So we figured that's a good place to kind of pick up some of these wild bacteria that spontaneously ferment this beer. So it's going to be a pretty long process. We did two of them, probably do two or three more, and within a year, you know, start tasting them and blending them and, you know, see what we get out of it.
Nico, you know, I've known you forever, and you've always covered
literally forever.
Long Island beer, yeah, in my life. Long Island beer scene. Tell me more about Chris and Dubco.
I think the breweries in this room represent the best of Long Island brewing right now, and
thank you.
And that's that's a pretty profound statement. If
appreciate
I should say
that,
so
Nico.
Myself.
No, I've always looked to you, and I appreciate you, man. I'm gonna give a big shout out, Nico Comedis. You know, 10, 12 years ago, you were like one of the real core guys who was writing about craft beer in New York City and the region. Yeah.
Jimmy, do you want to start an herb garden?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
And share a bed?
It's the next step.
Yeah, I think that's the logical next step for us.
Can I give a shout out? Let's shout out Long Island breweries in general. I just think, within the last 2 or 3 years, it's just changed on the island. 100%.
Well, what's great? I mean,
we kind of push each other. You know, like we say it's a kind of cliche, but the rising tide, you know, raises all ships.
Sure.
It was kind of the Wild West for a bunch of years there. It was, you know, breweries sporadically placed throughout the island, a couple brew pubs. The past few years, you know, a lot of these guys are popping up. You know, Kevin was there to support me when we opened, and I was there to support him when he opened. And we really do drive each other, you know, to push the best product to our customers, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's, you know, such an ethic about brewing in general, is that anyone who goes out there and says I and me, they're going to fail. I mean, it's all about the community, because at the end of the day, you're drinking some beer. And, you know, all these guys have been just like that. That sense of community has been incredible.
Brian, how's it for you? You're Barcade, you were one of my, you know, diehard beer bar guys for a long time.
I'm still fairly new to the Long Island scene. Cinco de Mayo marked 6 months with Barrier. Before that was an extended tour with Barcade. And so I had more of a wide grasp on the American beer culture, but not necessarily what was going on Long Island. I moved to Brooklyn about 9 years ago and rapidly started immersing myself in bar culture and craft beer culture, to be specific. I went through a bad phase in Hoboken when I was drinking a lot of questionable beers. come a long way from then.
But you opened Barcade in Hoboken?
No. You were living there? I lived in Hoboken for a long time and started bartending there at a little Irish dive called Duffy's. It's now called Cork City, and they're killing the craft game over there. But moved to Hoboken. Had some boring desk gig for a long time and started getting into home brewing. Brought my beer to Barcade, and they liked it enough that they offered me a gig there. So I worked there for a long time. In about a year and a half, 2 years, I was taking over the beverage program in Brooklyn. Stayed there for about 2.5 years, opened up the Chelsea spot, was there for about 3, then about 6 months between the Jersey City and Newark spots.
No, it's great. I've wanted to have you on the show for a long time. Now, you worked on Tuesdays a lot. You couldn't come on.
Yeah, scheduling difficulties for years on end.
But was this cool? There was that bottle. Was that bottle from Dubco?
Yeah.
Yes.
So you had a bottle, and it was cool. You were the only guy with it. You had a bottle opener ready to go. And I saw the physical, you know, the skill sets that we all have. You know, but when you've been like working behind the counter as a bartender,
he's not trigger shy
and chefs, yeah. But you've got the tools on hand, and I saw his physical. You know,
I always carry a bottle opener if I don't have a bottle. I always carry a lighter, yeah, even though I don't smoke.
And just to clarify, you're saying that no one in New Jersey knows how to brew beer, right?
Whoa! Shots fired, world star.
Don't let Augie hear that.
Well, there goes our cane collaboration. Thanks, buddy.
I'm totally joking.
Keep going, Kevin.
Wow.
World star.
Sorry, Augie.
No.
I was actually in Asbury Park this past weekend, and I was at a decent place with a decent beer list, and they primarily had Stillwater and Evil Twin. So maybe they don't. They had Maine beer on.
Shout
deck.
Out to Magnify from Jersey, by the way. Our
hell
boys.
Yeah,
Magnify. Yes, Magnify, Kane, Cypress.
They're trying to make up for their shit, but
I live in Jersey, bro. And I have to.
But you know, it's good. I wanted to get everybody, you know, talking on the show. But there's one more beer. This is another one. What was this one, Bill? You just poured that for me.
I don't know what I. You just have no idea what
that's
I.
That's like that's a milkshake. Yeah, that's a milkshake IPA.
Barrier, yeah.
So we made that for Christ.
Christ. Burger.
You made it for
Burgerology. Shows my Long Island knowledge.
Jesus.
Who makes the best milkshakes, by the way, on Long Island?
Not wrong.
We did a lactose milkshake show last week, so listen to that one. But we're going to take a short break. We're back in a few minutes on Beer Sessions Radio. All right.
Like what you hear? Heritage Radio Network has plenty more. With fresh programming every week, we've got something for everyone. Trying to start your own food business? Concerned about where your food comes from? Looking for the best wine or beer to bring to a party? Find our shows on iTunes or Stitcher, or head to heritageradionetwork.org to listen live and subscribe to our newsletter.
Hey, welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. Big shout out to heritageradionetwork.org. Become a member. I know these guys, this is like the cool horses ready to get out of the gates show. Get some great guys. The best breweries on Long Island, right, Nico?
Absolutely.
Barrier, Dubco, and Sand City. But I want to just say there's a new show on Heritage Radio Network called Meet and Three. It's more of a new show. There may be some beer content on there as well. But just check it out, Heritage Radio Network. .org. That's why we're here. Someone asked earlier, you know, how long have you guys been on? Well, Roberta's Pizza opened, and then 2009, Crazy Patrick Martin founder of Slow Food USA, said we got to do a food and beer network. So that's us, Beer Sessions Radio. All right. So, guys, Kevin, you're pouring me what's the next beer? It's like a dark, hazy beer.
Yeah, no, this is the Even Mohoga. This is the collaboration we did with Evil Twin.
There's no nuts in this, right?
Trace amounts of nuts, all right?
One nut.
Two.
So, does everyone have some? Nico, you need some?
Yes, I have your nuts in my mouth. But now. No, you know you have a Yepa's nuts in
well,
your
you,
mouth.
You definitely have Dane.
That's international nuts.
You,
right
you have
there.
A left or a right? So. We don't know.
In any event, so this is a it's an imperial stout.
Left or right, Mike?
Came in about 14.5%
you guys
alcohol.
Heard that.
And
did you brew this by you?
That's team for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, we brewed this at Sand City. Yeah. So
how does it work, Ev? So like guys like Yepa, we know, International Gypsy Brewer, our buddy. When did you guys meet? Tell us the backstory on that.
Honestly, so...
Or you just know everybody.
He's got a herb garden with everybody.
Exactly. No, so, I mean, Jeppe reached out to us a while back and just said, you know, he's tried some of our stuff, enjoyed it. So then, you know, we've been in contact over the past year or so, and finally we're able to get together and brew some beer. And so he headed out our way, and that was about it. So
you guys are trying to tell me that I should ask my friend Jake Gyllenhaal, the actor, if he wants to be in a movie called Herb Garden Brothers.
Yeah, listen, Jimmy, that's only going to help you. Definitely get in a movie with Jake Gyllenhaal. I mean, I'd do it.
All right, we'll do it.
I'm going to be super jealous, by the way.
And who gets to drink the beer?
I'll buy pre-sale tickets for that. I'm on board.
But I like this. Hoogie, this is a good beer.
It's like.
Yeah, and you guys are doing good stuff. I'm really happy with every beer I've had so far. I'm actually more impressed at Dubco. You had this like 6 month cool ship saison.
Yeah, I mean, besides you know, like Kevin was saying, besides doing all these crazy IPAs, when we opened up, I would like to brew traditional styles. My partner Brad would like to brew more traditional styles. A few years ago, it was more the West Coast IPA. And kind of reluctantly, you know, when this hazy New England style came around. A lot of customers were asking us to kind of get into it. That's why one of the beers we're drinking is called For Science. You know, we brewed a New England IPA literally for science, just to see if we could do it and what the reception would be. And then that kind of led into all these offshoots of that, you know, iteration of that beer, which is a good portion of the business now. But we still like to do a lot of cool stuff, you know, spontaneously fermented beers, barrel-aged beers, we do a lot of kettle sours.
This is Dubco For Science.
That is Dubco For Science number 5. So that just came out for our anniversary last week. So it's the 5th version of that. It has 5 different New Zealand hops. It's basically the same double IPA. We rotate the hops in it.
What are you using for hops?
That was Galaxy, Enigma, Motueka, Waiiti, and Wakatu.
Let's go back. I want to go back to, you know, the lead story was about how in your town, Sand City, you know, there's some issues with you know, just how busy, you know, your tasting room is. And I know that the laws have changed that you can actually go to, you know, a brewery in New York State and go to the tap room. New breweries are basically being built around their tap rooms and also buy things like cans and other things. So let's go back to that and just talk about how it's impacted your business. I mean, did you guys open before that law was in effect, or was that a reason to open a brewery?
No, we opened, actually, when we were going through our licensing phase, you know, that law was just being enacted. So when we opened our doors, we were, you know, allowed to sell pints, beer to go, without having to have a separate license. That was all part of the microbrewery license. I know, you know, a few months earlier, it was required that you would have to have a separate retail license in order to do so.
Yeah, Kevin and I opened up about 6 months apart from each other.
Right.
Yeah, so when we opened, we needed that separate retail license. It was in the process of getting approved where it would just be under the same umbrella. But that 100%, you know, drove our business and our business model. You know, us being such a small brewery, we didn't have, you know, that kind of income from distribution. It was literally tap room only.
And then the can line, could you have sold cans the same way under the old license? Or is that
under
just
the
a
retail license?
Thing?
Yeah, you could have sold cans on premise, cans,
but
bottles.
Without the retail license, could a microbrewery formally been able to sell cans the way you are now?
I believe so. You know, it's been a few years now. I'm not really
sure. I think
sure.
I think Mike would be able to maybe say more about that, because you guys are open. I know that you guys were originally a microbrewery license.
Yeah, we weren't doing any distro on terms of package for 2014.
Right, on premise only.
Right, but you were able to sell your cans retail.
We were able to sell, we started as Bombers. It was our first. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we were, yeah.
And then what happened? I mean, the can thing just took off. That's it. So no one planned for it. But like, really, no one planned for it. The laws were already in place. So this wasn't about regulations. This was just
It was a shift in the industry. About, you know, on-premise and then off-premise. Growler sales were a big thing when we all kind of opened up. And then,
not so much anymore.
Yeah, not so much, you know, because people get fresher beer, packaged beer in cans. You know, we do crowlers as well, but the cans really, you know.
And I love it because people are speaking. This is what they want.
Right.
If they want a low IBU, low bitterness IPA that's hazy and cloudy, well, you got to make it because that's what people want. That's what the market dictates.
Yeah, at the end of the day, I mean, these beers are desirable. People will wait in line for them. And, you know, that's what it is.
And some do them better than others. Some don't. But your liquid, at the end of the day, will speak for itself.
Nico, do you want to sum up the can line thing? I mean, we all know it. People are waiting in line for cans, but
yeah, I mean,
I love cans. I'll even seek out at beer bars. Often now, I will get a can rather than getting a draft. Even.
I mean, look, it's a double sided story. Like I think that it, you know, everyone wants to wait online and everyone wants these cans, but the fact is, you know, a lot of people that wait in line or can't wait online don't get access to these cans. So I think a lot of breweries, you know, Dubco namely, they've been trying to manage steps, you know, take steps to manage their lines and how their fans access their beer. And I know Gage can speak to kind of, you know, those alternative methods in terms of can sales.
So that's what we've been working on, Jimmy.
Beer Menus?
Beermenus.com. We've been working on a can pre-sale platform that'll allow the breweries to bust that line culture, to use a startup term, disrupt line culture. So the consumer who can't come out...
That's not fun anymore.
Well, you know, you can still get the beer you want, and when it's we make it a democratic process. If you can just buy the beer when you want to buy the beer. You don't have to show up at 4 p.m. on Thursday or 10 a.m. on Saturday, and if you can't wait in line, hope...
Do you know why Brian and I worked in beer bars for so long?
Why?
So we didn't have to wait in line.
Exactly. You know, and
industry
I think
cred.
You know, Sean from
right,
from
Brian?
Six Point.
I don't wait in lines.
Shane from Six Point made a really great point when he put an article out in Hop Culture about their app that they were doing, that the most important thing in beer in 2018 is going to be people taking their time back. Because waiting overnight for a beer
is
obscene.
Doing that? Threes is doing that, though, right?
Threes is doing
pre-sale.
Some
breweries are definitely doing that.
Yeah, there are breweries doing pre-sale, but our goal was to offer pre-sale as really simple for breweries to manage. We would take care of the legwork, but additionally, you get to tap into our 6.5 million U.S.-based beer drinkers at Beer Menus.
Wow. Right. Why can't I just go to ABC Beer Co. on Avenue C and take my pick of all the cans in the window and the drafts they have, and there's
because
probably a few at the bar.
You have to tend to your herb garden, Jimmy.
Oh, yeah.
You don't have time for that.
I'm old school. I never wait in line, kids.
There's kind of like a bootleg appeal to it. So back in the 80s, you know, a lot of these bands got popular because people were bootlegging the mixtapes and sending it out to their friends. Kind of like here. It's like, oh, I'm going to go to San City. I'm going to buy this 4-pack. I'm going to trade it or send it to a friend. And guess what? There's some guy in Nebraska that has a 4-pack of San City that never would have had it before.
There's a big draw getting it direct from the brewery. And additionally, I mean, I'm sure y'all will attest to this. You make more money that way, and that's always good.
Yeah, and I mean, you see it in different industries as well. I mean, Supreme, you see it at different streetwear emporiums. This is what's happening right now. I mean, brands, or whether it be breweries or cupcake shops,
sneakers,
they're dropping drops. And people are waiting.
I'm available
waiting
on Saturday.
Absolutely.
I'm available on Saturday for $20 an hour. I'll stand in line at any brewery as long as you need.
For Dubco going into this venture with Beer Menus, it was sheerly an availability issue, which has been our problem since day one. Like I said, you know, we're pretty small. So, you know, we don't have these 100, 200 case drops. You know, it's maybe 50 or 60. So we wanted, you know, to make the playing field kind of fair for everybody. You know, even with limits, and even, you know, if I limited one can, it's still only 50 cases is not much beer to get out to the public. You know, so the first couple we did, and, you know, if we release at 4 o'clock on a Thursday, 5 o'clock on a Thursday, people are still at work, and the beer is gone. You know, like, it just sucks for everybody. So this kind of evens the playing field, especially, you know, for us, it's availability. I get the whole line culture and everything that goes along with it. But it was surely just to help us and to help our customers. We'd have regular customers who wouldn't even get the beer. You know, the people I see every day, in and out every day.
But there's something cool to see in that, though. Like, oh, I just saw somebody check in my beer from Washington State. That, how the hell did they get that? Because a friend sent that to them.
Right.
And they were completely wrong in reviewing it.
but it's
true.
And
in
true,
the end,
like,
they didn't treat it right either.
I mean, there are positives and negatives.
I don't read
negatives.
Yelp reviews. I don't read Untappd reviews.
Don't do that.
I'm an outlier.
You have cropping to do, Jimmy. No, there are positives and negatives to line culture. Like, I did the article with Sand City, I did the article with Shane and, you know, 6 Points new app. I see the argument for both sides. So, you know, it's a complex issue, definitely. And, you know, I think brewers are, you know.
No, and I'm really happy that you wrote that article and we got to meet these guys. Let's do a quick wrap up. First, the last beer, someone's New England IPA. I don't even know who it was.
There's like 17.
And it's the white
that's
label.
Actually, that's the collaboration. For locals to locals.
Oh, this is the local. So we teamed up with a bunch of breweries, and it's all Long Island based. It's 4 Long Island Home D's and Long Island retail stores that sell beer, and it's basically coming together and making a beer for the retailers. It's only available there. We're not selling
for Long Island Beer Week or something else.
No, it's just in general. And every brewery is actually gonna have. So we started off where all of us got together. All the breweries involved got together and, you know, just brewed a New England style IPA, sent it out to the Home D's. And now I think Greenport was the next one to brew it, solo shot. And then every brewery is going to have their own.
I don't understand. It's the same label?
They're different. They're different labels.
So this was who brewed this one?
This was under collaboration of all the breweries involved.
So this basically is in retaliation to Total Wine coming to Westbury on Long Island. So Total Wine is basically a nationwide conglomerate. Kind of a Home Depot of wine and liquor. So they had such competitive pricing. It was literally half price of, you know, a Home D that's in the same neighborhood. And that's their MO. They just come in, you know, destroy the prices, put everybody out of business, and then they jack them back up. So this is like, you know, a collaboration between other local businesses, you know, beer distributors, you know, Home D's and local breweries to try and combat, you know, this type of.
And what is it, lower priced?
Yeah, they said they wouldn't be undercut.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. So that's like, wow. Last time we talked, there was like the Sandy Relief beer.
Yeah, that was many, many moons ago.
Yeah, so since then, it's been almost 6 years.
We're trying to help out these other local family-owned Long Island businesses that have been around forever.
This is profound. So how are you able to come together and make it cheaper?
Well, it's not necessarily cheaper.
Exclusively for the selected home D's.
So if somebody that owns like a 7-Eleven or a national chain like Total Wine comes in and tries to buy our product, we're going to say, listen, this is just specifically for our local, you know, family-owned businesses.
Let me give you a very, very quick backstory. So we brewed a beer for Total Wine, ironically, because they reached out to us and said, hey, we'll purchase 300 cases, can you make the beer? And like, we're not going to give you any discounts. Sure, you want to make it? If you can take it, sure. And then there was some backlash from a couple Home D's who were...
A Home D?
A home distributor.
A local
beer distributor. Okay. Yeah. So, but customers, you know, people that have been doing business with Barrier since day one. But it was obviously just a misunderstanding, a misconception what happened. So then we got together, we talked, like, all right, listen, we didn't realize that. We totally get that. If we ask for it, you do it first too. So I said, yeah, well, why don't we do it? Why don't we do one for you? So then it just escalated to having a select amount of Long Island breweries that come together.
So which Long Island breweries are making this together?
Says it on the can, and I have to get it.
Hey, you got to read it. This is a big story, man. I think, Nika, did we beat you on the scoop?
We have Barrier, Destination Unknown, Great South Bay, Greenport Harbor, Oyster Bay, Sand City, and Spider Bite.
This is awesome story, man. Thanks for bringing it on air.
Is this meant to be like a line of product?
Yes. So our first beer was the overall collaboration, which involved all of our breweries. And then there's going to be single beers by every single brewery.
Right. So next month is actually Greenport Harbor that's going to hit, you know, for June. I want to say July might be Oyster Bay. August, I think we're involved in.
Yeah.
So every month, these guys are going to get a new drop from each of these breweries involved.
This is way bigger than a Long Island Beer Week. This is like a new way of looking at business.
it's you know, us helping out the people who helped us from the beginning. These local home, you know, beer distributors, you know, giving back to us, you know, saying, look, we'll exclusively carry you guys. We've been there since day one, and we're trying to help them out.
I'm going to toast to that. It reminds me of a movie I saw, I think, called Beer Culture, about all the independent craft breweries in Colorado like 6 or 7 years ago.
Artie Lang was in that, right?
What's that?
Artie Lang was in that, right?
Yeah, right. To support all the, yeah, all the
it was just good to see something that could have turned to a negative, turned to a positive.
Absolutely.
This is a huge project. I just say it one more time, Mike, exactly what it is, because this is hot shit.
Local to locals.
Shout out to Andrew Preston.
Thank you, Preston. From
Where?
From Hicksville,
Beer and Soda.
All right. And then, Kevin, you're down with this. It's a pretty cool project, right?
Yeah, it's great. I mean, I think...
So little guys coming together to sell to other little guys, and this is a model that people could use around the country, right?
Yeah.
Keep little small independent sellers with independent breweries.
Absolutely. This is, you know, it's our backyard, so we want to make sure that everybody involved who's helped us grow... You know, we can help them grow.
Okay, so on that note,
and I think people will be excited for it.
Absolutely.
So do you have to make, as a brewery, if you're doing this model, do you have to make a light lager?
No.
No, this
I think it's what the people want.
Yep, this was a double IPA. So
yeah,
The next one I want to say is an IPL.
IPL, but it's going to be hoppy. Yeah. It's going to be hazy. It's going to be more people.
Right, and ours
no one's going to say no to it.
Ours is clearly going to be a rosemary, hibiscus, some sort of something from the herb garden.
Don't forget the guava.
You're going to be fishing in Carboni's garden.
It's all right.
I already got a garden. These guys are going to come over. We'll do collaborative gardening, you know. Hey. Yeah.
That's the future of
He's trying to cut us off, but Nico, let's wrap it up. Thanks for bringing out you know, these guys. I've been wanting to meet Sand City. It's actually the first time I've tried your beer in Dubco too, so
thanks, man.
It's one of my perks. Any next stories coming up or anything, Nico, that we should?
I'm actually working on a story about Houston's New England IPA style. New England style. Sorry, too many drinks. I'm working on a story about Houston's NEIPA scene.
All right. And I think we've all had a lot of beer. And then this guy, Bill, you poured me another beer. I don't even know what it is. Is this the... Something we already drank.
I have no idea what I poured you. Let's say that it's Walks the Throne, another collaboration from Sand City and Barrier.
Boom.
Nico, I mean, I think the real story that you have to go after, and I've spoken to you about this, is, you know, every week we get a request for labels from, you know, Eastern European countries. And I think there's something going on over there. I think they're bootlegging beer.
Really?
This is a serious question.
Are they? Yeah, I'm straight up serious.
They're requesting labels, but not beer.
We every week I get an email from a place.
You got that same one from Bratislava?
Bratislava?
Yeah.
Double Bratislava, bro.
So do they want like one, or
they want labels?
A roll?
They want the whole thing, man. I think this is a whole thing that you can blow wide open.
Their craft beer like bootleggers. Industry this doesn't want to make their own. They just want to copy yours.
I think they just want to make a beer and then use
the
label.
And then just put the labels on it.
Put out a shitty Pilsner and label it a hazy double IPA.
Why would they request your labels? Why don't they just pull it offline?
Dude, come on, man. Our label's legit. I mean, I don't know.
You know how much toner costs? In Eastern Europe?
But all joking aside, I mean, that's for real. I mean, that's a tip, Nico.
Wow.
For free.
But just one more thing. Thanks they actually want to buy your labels.
No, they want them for free.
Yeah,
naturally. Come on. But you know what? All joking aside. You know, Nico puts the miles in, you know, and he's a great writer and he kind of shows up.
Thanks, dude.
Everyone knows that he shows up on like a Saturday, Sunday morning to hang out.
And he looks damn good in a suit. I've seen him in his other clothing, but like right now, I would get an herb garden with him in a second.
Kevin, I would plant rosemary somewhere with you.
No lemongrass.
You'd plant in Ridgewood. You'd go home.
Let's wrap it up, kids.
Literally,
right.
Wrap it up, kids.
Started,
always
weird.
Wrap it up.
Anything, Dubco? Anything going on with you guys?
I want to shout out next. This Saturday, May 19th, we're doing a charity event at the brewery for the Dana-Farber Foundation. It's a ticketed event. If you can stop by, come down. It's for a good cause.
What town are you in?
We're in Bayshore, Long Island,
New York State,
New York State, Planet Earth,
and we have an event coming up this Sunday. right? May 20th at Hoyt Farms in Smithtown, dedication to a former firefighter and U.S. soldier, Chris Raguso, who was killed in the line of service.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so...
That's often.
We brewed a beer for it called Sixth Wave because he did six waves in Afghanistan. So that beer will be exclusively released there as well. It's
nice,
and it's open to the public. It's open to families, and you know,
and Barry, can you top that?
I mean, come on, how do you top something like that?
No,
but I am going to plug Long Island Beer Week. We have a couple of events.
Oh, yeah.
Morrison's in Plainville tomorrow night. Hoptron on Thursday. I got something else in Long in Freeport.
Saturday we got Five Borough Craft Beer Fest at the Well.
Five Borough Craft Beer Fest in Brooklyn at the Well.
All right,
you guys there? Who's all
there?
Yeah,
we'll be there. Yep.
Beautiful.
Cheers. Well, cheers to you guys, and
thanks for having us.
I'll just say this: that coming up July 18th, New York City Brewers Choice. It's invite only.
Oh,
it's
going to be a little
scaled back this year, and a special event that's been going on since 2000.
Where is it at this year?
It's going to be in Williamsburg on the waterfront.
Love it.
Nice. Wow. All right. And big shout out. Thanks to our engineer, David Tadashore. Justin Kennedy, our producer. Thank you, Justin, for wrangling all these guys, bro. This is a great show.
Justin.
Nico Kremitas for writing that article. And I'm Jimmy Carboni. We'll catch you next time on Beer Sessions Radio. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Woo.
Right
on. Woo.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.
Hey, it's Francis Lamb, host of The Splendid Table. Every week on our show, we talk about food and cooking and the meanings of food and cooking. We talk with the most interesting people in food about their techniques, their culture, and everything in between. Whether it's about how fried chicken took over the world or how Instagram changes the way people are actually eating. It's a food show where everyone is welcome. Come join us. You can listen to The Splendid Table wherever you get your podcasts.